you guys so much for having us here. We feel really honored and blessed. You guys are an amazing house. Let me tell you that first. How many believe God's doing something significant in this region? How many want to see more? Amen. I love what Pastor Jack was talking about during prayer right before church started. He talked about just the unified church of Portland coming together. And I really believe that there's something significant that was started just a few years ago, but it's growing. And I believe that it's going to be an example to the rest of the nation of how bodies can come together, not out of a competitive spirit, but out of a unified spirit to see Jesus exalted and to see Jesus put on high, man. How many want to see Jesus get his full reward? All right. So, we're so excited to be here. We're from a church called Father's House. We meet downtown Portland, right in the thick of some interesting, awesome people of our region. And God's had us plant there 20 years ago, so this is our 20th anniversary. And it's such a testimony of what God can do to people who just show up and say yes. And I think it's encouraging for you and I who sometimes we feel like we don't have it all together, we don't have all the best gifts in the world, but all he's honestly asking each and every one of us is to say yes. And in that yes, he's exalted and his grace and his power and his authority comes through us and shifts the ground around us. And all it takes is our agreement with him. So how many people today want to say, I agree with what the Lord wants to do through my life, through my church, and through this region, amen? Awesome. You guys are doing such an incredible job. I feel you guys have stewarded really well the love of God. And you can just feel it as you walk into this room. And I want you to know, and I want to encourage you all, that it's a grace and it's a gift that's placed on this house and on each and every one of you that you take outside of these walls and you take to your workplaces, you take to your families, you take to your schools. You take it wherever you go, and that love of God is the thing that really draws them to him. Now, it's cool that we get to carry all that, but it's not about people who we want people drawn to us necessarily. We want people drawn to him, but it's awesome that he wants to demonstrate his goodness through you and through people who say yes. So I encourage you guys, you carry the love of God really well. You carry the love of God really, really well. I was actually even just praying about this last night, about giftings and about all the different things that God gives us and he gives his children and he wants us to walk things out. But I love how Paul says, listen, you could prophesy, you can do all this amazing things, but if you don't have love, it really is worthless when it's all said and done. And so if you carry love, boy, you carry the key ingredient to see your city and see your region affected. Amen? You guys believe that? All right.
We're gonna tag team. I don't know if this battery might be dying. That's okay. We have foghorns. We will trumpet pretty well. I'm Deneen, and we are from Portland. We are from Father's House. Tyre is already under the anointing and going. I just want to interject that we have been in Portland for. Ty was born and raised in Portland, and I joined him when I was 18. We've been married since we were kids, 19 and 21. And we have two awesome kids. We have, actually, they're not kids anymore. We have one that goes to Portland State University. His name is Trenton. And we have a daughter, Kylie, who's in 10th grade. And before we get started, we want to give away some things. I have this CD. It's called I Am Is Calling. It's a prophetic soaking. I spoke at a women's conference, and no, it's not just for women, just so you know. It doesn't say women, it's about the body of Christ. But we had a night where God actually gave me a prophetic word instead of a message. Well, it was a message, it just wasn't mine. And I had been preparing for a couple days, and I had got it all done. And then God goes, now that you've done that, do you want to do what I want to say? And I was like, but Lord. And he said, well, I just wanted you to think you were doing a good job. And I was like, well, I would have liked a little bit of more notice, but because he knew I would shake in my boots. But Angela Pinkston, I don't know if you know who she is. She's really awesome. She's from Jesus Pursuit Church. She's actually prophesying with her fingers and behind the track. And it's 45 minutes of a prophetic soaking. So whose birthday is today or anniversary? Let's see. No birthday. So how about anniversary? Whose birthday is tomorrow? Yours? All right. Come and get it. Yeah. May you be blessed. We just declare blessing in Jesus' name, increase on you. And then this is our album, Revealed. Ty, do you want to talk about this at all?
It's a CD. It's a God CD. He told us to do it. It's a big, big ask. You know, God sometimes asks us to do things that is uncomfortable and stretches us, and it tests our faith. This is one of those testimonies. He asked us to do it. He asked us to invest a lot of time, energy, and resources and money, and when we didn't even have it. And so we said yes, believing that God would step up, and it's kind of a miracle how he provided us through this. But we were able to contact and get connected with a producer who did a bunch of Bethel CDs. And so he produced it for us, and then we got a lot of the Bethel musicians as like the guitarist and drums and bassist and all that stuff. And we're just, we're in awe of how God worked it all together, and we're really excited about what God released in that season, but also we believe that that season was a forerunning season. And so these songs were written a few years ago, but we now know that we're coming into those songs that we declared about, and so it'll be really encouragement to you. It's some great worship, so we...
Okay, so who, okay. Green, we got it. Bless you. Awesome. So then after, if you're interested in those, we'll have those in the back. And I think Shannon will be there until we get there. So thank you again for having us.
So we believe the Lord wants to speak something to you, but I have a couple things. I don't really believe in coincidences. I believe that when things happen, the Lord oftentimes speaks to that thing and says he's highlighting something. So I literally just got a text like early this morning from some pretty random people I haven't actually talked to in I think about 2 years. But they texted us as a testimony and sent us pictures of a child that they just birthed, that they were trying and trying and trying to conceive, and I didn't even know they were pregnant. And God miraculously made them pregnant, and it's exciting to see the baby. So as I was reading that this morning, I felt the Lord wanted to highlight a couple things. There might be some people in the room have been trying to have kids, but I also heard that this word is for people who have stretched themselves, who put themselves out there, maybe in a business capacity, and it felt like it was a stillbirth, or it felt like there wasn't anything fruitful coming out of it. And I believe that that's the word is a testimony of what God wants to release today to anyone who is in a situation where they are not seeing what they know they're supposed to see as far as children, as far as reproduction. So if you're in a place, it could be natural kids, it could be spiritual kids, or it could be even a business idea or something like that. If you receive this word today, this is a new season, I want you to raise your hands. Not going to embarrass you all. All eyes are closed right now. We just release now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are releasing life. Lord, I thank you for the promises that you have given us. And Lord, we stand on your word and on who you are. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for people who are trying to have natural children. Lord, we bless them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless businesses. We bless ideas. We bless things, Lord, that are feeling like they're dead. Those ideas that we once held on to, that we feel like we missed the chance. Lord, I know that right now in the name of Jesus, you're blowing life into those things now. So we thank you for fruitfulness. When we thank you for multiplication, we bless it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So it's an amazing thing that happens. And I love what Pastor Jack was talking about at the end of worship, about Holy Spirit coming. and manifesting himself through our lives. And it's an amazing thing when we are walking in this life with Christ. We carry the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is just absolutely excited to demonstrate himself through us. He wants out. And he wants out in the flavor that you are. And if we get caught up in this and that in this life, and we don't let the Holy Spirit out in our flavor, then the world is missing the flavor that it really needs. So can we, before we go any further today, can we receive this word and accept the fact that the Holy Spirit has a unique flavor that he wants to demonstrate through you and through me? Can you receive that today? And then there's this tension that we walk out in our lives. This tension is, oh, I want more of the Lord. Holy Spirit, just come, fill me, which is good, hanging out. And then in our walk with Christ, it's all about just kind of hunkering down and just like receiving more of the Lord. And the other side of that spectrum are people who are so missionally minded. It's like always out there and always out there. Forget about all the other stuff. It's always about there. And then we forget that there's actually a middle ground that we're supposed to actually live in, which is the tension of more of you, Holy Spirit, and more of this. But so often we swing this pendulum, right? And so we sometimes get caught in this position where we're just like, I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to soak. I'm just going to hang out with the Lord, me and God. And, you know, the world doesn't need leeches. The world doesn't need something that just hangs on something and just sucks it out for dear life. What it needs, I got this word last night, are more hummingbirds. Hummingbirds come and they suck the pollen out. They suck what they give life, but then they go and they go to other places as well. And it said that hummingbirds pollinate up to 1,000 different plants a day because they're constantly eating, but they're constantly moving as well. So it's not an either or. It's not like I'm just going to sit down and just worship and it's just about me and the Lord, or it's not just about everybody else out there. We need to see this world saved. No, can we agree that there's a really cool middle ground that we get to constantly feed ourselves with the Holy Spirit, but also be kingdom-minded in what we do? Amen? All right, so we're not leeches, right? We're hummingbirds.
All I have to say to add to that is that, look, we have a mandate from the Lord to be full of him, to be full of his presence, so that when other people look at us, they see his image, they see his face, right? But we do not have a mandate from the Lord to be fat. And what I mean by that is only store and only store and only store and never give and never give. See, that what happens when we just become fat is we just come and sit here fat. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about people like in the natural. I'm talking about in the spirit. When all we do is have that, we have this richness in us. But what happens is it goes bad after a while if it doesn't get out. It becomes an opportunity for deception, because actually we get so puffed up. And so the balance is really important, because the balance keeps that flow of the Holy Spirit revitalizing everything, where we're not just big on all the stuff, but we actually have a purpose. See, God does everything intentfully and purposefully, and that's including through us. So we all have an intent and a purpose behind us. God has given you a purpose and a destiny. And with that, there's an intent that as you sit and get full of his presence, it flows out of you into the world around you. That's the intent of God. Because what does Habakkuk say? That the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as waters, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as waters cover the sea. How is that going to happen? How are people going to know the glory? Through us. So first, in order for them to know the glory, we have to be glory carriers. But the rest of that is we have to release it. We have to release it.
So just like pretty much everything we talk about has a prophetic bent to it, because we believe that we should be operating prophetically everywhere we go at all times. It's not just about a prophecy that releases like end time stuff or, you know, these big things. Prophetically led, it just means you're being led by the Holy Spirit, right? What you're saying and what you're doing is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we, our mandate isn't necessarily just to go to different churches or different conferences, and we actually have a school that we take on the road that teaches on the prophetic. Our mandate isn't just to show up and say, hey, you, this is what happened to you a few years ago, and the Lord wants to release this to you, which we could do. That's all well and good. There's a time and place for that. But our mandate is to train the body of Christ to hear the Holy Spirit for themselves. Because we can get accustomed to a position where we have a lack of confidence in who we are, and so we just trust and we rely on someone else's relationship with the Lord to hear for themselves. And I'm telling you, that's not the way you were designed. That's not the way you were designed to live your life. Every single one of us in here was designed to hear the Holy Spirit and walk in a prophetic lifestyle. And so today we're going to talk about a few of the challenges that we come up against when we're hearing. And the question I'm asking you is, who are we listening to in our life? How are we listening? What grid are we listening to? We're just going to talk about just a few stories that highlight a few of the traps that the enemy comes. The first one is found in Genesis, and it's the story we're all familiar with, Adam and Eve. Eve is at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That word knowledge there is a Hebrew word, and basically it just means information. I'm not going to give you the name of the Hebrew word because it's irrelevant, or it doesn't really matter at this point. But what's interesting is we see the story of Satan, and he comes and he tempts Eve at that tree. It says, partake. And what he says at that moment is really interesting. He says, eat and you will know good and evil. Now, I just said that it's the knowledge of good and evil. It's just information. What Satan was tempting Eve with in that moment wasn't, listen, you're just going to get some information about the good and evil. There's another Hebrew word. It's called yada or yada or however you want to pronounce it. Are we familiar with that word? It's this intimate knowing. It's a connection. It's the same word that's used when it says Adam knew Eve and they conceived. It's this relational dynamic of information. And what Satan was tempting Eve in that moment wasn't like, you're just going to know some information, but you're going to yada good and evil. You're going to know it. You're going to become intimate with it. And so often in our own personal lives, the enemy comes with difficult times. We go all through difficult times and whatever. And the enemy tempts us to yada our experience or yada the information. And we marry ourselves to those negative experiences instead of what has God called us. He wants us to yada him. And so there's this false intimacy that we're lured into where the enemy says, I want you to marry this difficult situation. I want you to marry this information. So our grid goes through that difficult experience. Instead, what is God saying? I want you to marry me. I want you to yada me in the middle of that difficult situation. And I will give you hope and peace and a proper perspective of how to interpret that information and how to get through it. And yet, if we automatically go to the information and we've become intimate with that information instead of intimate with the Lord, how many believe that does not lead to good places and good things? Amen? So the first thing that the enemy oftentimes does is he tries to create this false intimacy by having us become intimate with your experience, become intimate with the information that's around you instead of becoming intimate with the Lord.
I was trying to find a verse. It's okay, I can't find it. And on the lines of that, you know, the Bible talks about training up our senses, training up our senses in understanding both good and evil. And I want to just touch this for a second, just because when that happened, when Eve did that, we all became aware of good and evil. But see, there's another narrative. There's a restoration of the narrative of Yada through training up our senses to be submitted to the Spirit of God so that we're actually underneath that lordship of Christ, and he actually influences our emotions and our senses. And see, a lot of people have discernment, but really they have the gift of suspicion. A lot of people have discernment, or what we would like to, in the now buzzword, is the discerning of spirits, because it's the same gift. And they call, and it's really the gift of suspicion. I have people that I've trained that come up to me and they are suspicious. And what happens is when their gift is not submitted to the Spirit of God, their gift knows good and evil, but it magnifies the evil and it actually looks for the evil and it looks for the bad intent, and it brings a judgment and it brings an accusation. It partners with the accuser of the brethren, and you see that released to the body of Christ. Instead of what God wants, when we yada him, when we know him, when we know who he is, and all of us come into Christ, because the ultimate thing for all of the earth is to come into the lordship of Christ. Ephesians 1, just read it. Okay? When we all come into the lordship of Christ, our senses then are subject to the Spirit, and we will wait to hear the word of the Lord to determine how we respond, not reaction. So, I just want to say, who are you yada-ing?
Another thing that the enemy likes to do is he comes and he, through circumstances again in life, he wants to convince us that we aren't hearing the Lord correctly. How many have gone through times in their life where they feel like, I think I missed the mark there, or I'm not being led correctly? How many people have gone through those, right? It's this seed of doubt that comes in. And what that seed of doubt does, it creates a culture of hesitancy. So you may have been gung-ho for the first couple of times in life, but when you fell on your face, you're like, wow, I didn't hear right there, because it sure hurt, right? We've all been there. We've all done that. But what that does is, if we don't deal with that thing immediately, if we don't deal with that thing and have it healed in our heart from those things, because our interpretation of experiences can oftentimes be a little wrong. How many people have interpreted those experiences not in the correct mindset? I have, you have. And so, again, that's walking with the Holy Spirit. It's walking with the Lord as far as that. But what the enemy tries to do, he tries to convince us that we can't hear the Lord, or we hear the Lord incorrectly, and we miss the mark. There's a story in Judges. I'm not going to go into the whole story because it's kind of long and a little depressing, to be perfectly honest with you. And I don't really want to bring that to you today. But essentially, Israel comes, and there was something horrible that happened to them. And they asked the Lord, should we go up to battle? And the Lord said, send this tribe. So they sent this tribe. They got whooped. Like, tons of people died. They're like, what happened? Did we hear the Lord right? So they went back, prayed, and they cried, all that stuff. I would cry too. And then they said, Lord, what should we do now? And then he said, go up. And he said, okay, so we'll go get up again. So they went up again, and what happened again? They lost again. Lots more people died. Yeah, lots and lots of losses. And then finally, to their credit, they actually kept on going back to God, right? Because they're like, I don't know if we keep hearing right. But they finally did again. They said, Lord, we don't understand what's going on, but what should we do? And then finally the Lord says, go up today, for I've given them into your hands. The previous times the Lord said, send this tribe. The other time the Lord said, do this. And sometimes when we hear the Lord leading us, sometimes we have an expectancy of what that's actually going to look like, or the result. And so we hold God hostage to a result. And then when that result doesn't happen, we get offended by the Lord, and we may or may not believe that in our minds or whatever, but it's there in our hearts. And if it's not dealt with, we'll carry that with us to the next experience. And what the enemy does is he works on all of our giftings this way, in that maybe you are a giver, or maybe you have such and such a thing, and yet you've been hurt through that gift. right? Maybe you absolutely love to have people into your household and bring them in, and you've done that in the past, but it has bit you in the behind. And what the enemy tries to do through that moment is saying, see, you didn't hear right. You shouldn't have brought that person in. You can't hear the Lord. Plus, if you obey him, what's going to happen? It's going to hurt anyway. And so it creates this culture of hesitancy that the enemy tries to come.
And self-protection. Because ultimately, I'm gonna actually read this so I get it right, because this is something that the Lord gave me in my journal. I just want to say it the right way. Because after you've gone up a bunch of times or you felt like you stepped out, what happens is if we allow that to define us, unbelief will creep in. And really what unbelief is unbelief creates self-ordained, I can't read my own writing. Yeah. Unbelief creates self-ordained contingency plans. Just saying. Because honestly, we grapple with our humanity in those moments. We grapple with how could God let me lose, or how could I have lost that, or why is it costing me this, or all of the questions that take our eyes off of Jesus, which is all the whys that we don't necessarily have an answer for. And there's lots of people that aren't following the Lord right now because they had a why, and they magnified the why over actual nature and character of who Jesus is. And the Lord wants to come, and I believe this is an appointed time for your house right now. God is actually breaking off the things that you guys have experienced that have been negative, that have told you information about him, but not where you did not take what you know of him as the plumb line, but instead where the information became bigger or magnified because the situation was more magnified. I believe God is actually right now in this room. I believe God is actually breaking those things off right now. Because there is the truth of who God is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is the author. He is the finisher. And his word, it never, everybody say never, returns void. It means it never is empty. So even when we don't understand, when we choose the place of faith, there is something that's going to have to happen in response of obedience. Obedience has its own reward, by the way, but has in response to our obedience, because it's a step of faith, God will answer. It might not be when you want. See, and that's the problem. We hold God to our timeline. To the finite little moment when he's concerned about eternity, we're worried about this moment. But see, even God takes care of that worry, because he says that he transcends our understanding. It's his perfect peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So even in loss, even in disappointment, there is the promise of recompense. There's a promise of repayment. There's a promise of joy. There's a promise of life, even in death. There's a promise of life because we serve the eternal living God. And there is just a place, and we are asked, well, are we hard-hitting? I'm not trying to be hard-hitting, but I believe today there's a place where we're coming to the end of ourselves. Where we're coming to the end of ourselves and we're embracing the fullness of God. So I just release it to every heart in this room. Whatever past disappointments, whatever past losses have determined how you view God, right now I release to you the paradigm shift necessary to put Jesus as the plumb line so that all things will enter into the fullness of him. And that all things that he has said will come to pass in our lives because he is a good and a faithful God. We release that in Jesus' name.
Another way the enemy entices us is trying to get us to listen to, and it ties in what Deneen was just talking a little bit ago, was processing things through our own understanding. And like, that doesn't make sense. Did God really say that? I, This makes more sense, so I'm going to go there. A quick story. We're familiar with Saul, who's the first king of Israel. And it had to do with the Amalekites, who were a constant. There's a whole history behind them that actually goes back to Esau. But they were constantly at war with Israel, constantly doing things. And then finally, at one point, the Lord told, through Samuel, to Saul, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." This is in 1 Samuel 15:2. It's pretty harsh. But what the Lord wanted to do, his ways are much higher than our ways. Can we know that we are not God and we don't understand everything? But there is a purpose to it all. And so he says, "I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, spare them not. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." That's crazy to me. I don't understand that, but I also understand that I don't understand everything. But when the Lord asks us to do things, the enemy says, "Well, did he really say that? Maybe you don't have to go so far," right? And so what happened was Saul came under that spirit of like, that's not my understanding. My understanding is if I was in the same place and this nation came, I would want to have mercy on me, which is normally done. They spare the king and his line. And so he's saying, "Well, we'll spare the king and then we'll take a few things and we'll give them to the Lord as an offering." That sounds like a good compromise. Right, Lord? And so what does he do? He does that. He goes and kills a lot of the Amalekites, but he spares a few, and he takes some of the stuff. What happens through that, through the generations and through the line, 500 years later, the seed of the Amalekites are still there, and there's a man that comes up. His name is Haman. Now, we're familiar with the story of Esther, and Esther was used to bring salvation to the children of Israel, but there was this man named Haman that came and tried to destroy the entire nation of Israel. Now, let me tell you another story that happened with David right after this. David became king. He was riding through a town, and there was this guy. He just starts throwing all these insults towards David. I don't understand why he was doing it, what the backstory of it was. It might be there. But there was something inside of David that arose and said, "Listen, I am king." Even though one of David's mighty men says, "Hey, can I go kill that dude? He shouldn't be talking to you like that." Right? And David's like, "Well, you know what? I'm going to let him curse me. I'm going to let him say all those things because possibly the Lord is going to do something through this situation." And so David spares this man, which honestly didn't make a lot of sense during that day. You imagine this guy starts throwing all these insults toward the king. Like 99 of 100 times, that guy's head would be off, right? But this is what happened. Just like 500 years later, that decision that Saul made out of his own understanding produced a man that tried to destroy that whole nation. That decision that David did, which submitted his mind and thought process to Christ, which still didn't necessarily make sense, but he says, "I'm going to spare him." 500 years later, the line of that guy that David spared was Mordecai. And who is Mordecai? Mordecai is the guy who came in with the plan and told Esther about what happened. So we could see the decisions that we make out of our own understanding, they might make sense in that moment. Because maybe the Lord's asking you to do something so extreme that it doesn't make sense, but maybe we'll make a compromise here and there. And we could see maybe that decision might not have fruit immediately, but we could see that decision 500 years later almost destroy the whole nation of Israel. And yet a decision that David did that, again, didn't make sense, but he submitted it to God, brought the Savior for that nation. That's how important our agreement is with God versus our own understanding. We're running out of time, so there's just two more things we want to talk about really quickly. The enemy tries to disqualify ourselves by lying about who we are. And if we agree with those lies, we create a culture of being ineffective. We basically take ourselves out of the game. Moses is at the burning bush. God comes. He demonstrates himself in such an amazing way and says, I'm going to use you to bring freedom to Israel. And what does Moses say? He says, well, I'm disqualified because of all these different things. First of all, he says, my voice is not that significant. There's no power. There's no authority in it. It won't make any difference. You know, who am I? How many people believe that sometimes their voice and what they carry is insignificant? Be honest with me in this room. Do we sometimes feel insignificant? Do we sometimes feel small? And I want to tell you, that's a good place to be. Because it's God's grace through you and me that makes us powerful and makes us effective. It's not because we think we have it all together. If we think we have it all together, and that's not I'm not saying we shouldn't prepare ourselves. That's all well and good. But if we are relying and trusting on our own gifts and our own strengths, we've missed the whole point of Holy Spirit demonstrating himself through you. His grace is sufficient for us. So there's a disqualification of us feeling insignificant. There's also a disqualification saying, I don't have much to give. Moses had a stick. God said, throw it on the ground and see what I can do with that stick. Maybe you only have a stick, but God is saying to you today, throw it on the ground and see what I can do with that. And the last thing, he says, I stutter too much. I can't talk. I have deficiencies in my life. Well, welcome to the club. Who doesn't have a deficiency? Raise your hand if you're perfect in this room. Woo! Let's. Thank you. Deficiencies. Again, it's not about us. It's about us saying yes. It's about us showing up and seeing what God can do through our lives.
I just want to highlight because I know we're finishing up here, but that story is actually in Exodus 3, and I just want to read this to you. It's Exodus 3, verse 10, and I just, of course, I'm having technology difficulties today. Okay. Therefore, this is God to Moses. He's saying, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Before, when God was announcing himself to Abraham, to Moses, I want you to hear what he says. He says, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then the Lord tells him to come. Then Moses responds with But Moses said to God, who am I? Now, I want you to hear this. God said, I am. And Moses said, who am I? Just let that sink in. We always say, who am I? But God's already said, I am. There's a fight even for people to, you know, people who minister, like Ty and I, you know, we go through, like, you hear things in your head, like, we're disqualified. We can't speak in front of people. Or maybe we don't feel prophetic enough. Maybe I don't feel today like I should. But God said I am. Just saying. I like to say that. Because we all have that. But do we believe that God is who he says he is? If he says, I am, that statement wasn't just, oh, I'm here. That is a statement of fullness. That's a statement of promise. That's a statement of demonstration of power. That's a statement of everything you need, all sufficiency, everything. I am. It means before you were, I was. Before you will be, I was. And before you, you know, I'm here and I'll be in your future. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here and I see the end from the beginning. I am. We are like, but who am I? He's like, but I am. But when are we going to believe not just one part of him? See, we can believe the things that other people do. I believe that God is a God of miracles because I've seen him heal somebody. But what if you didn't see him heal somebody? Is he still a God of miracles? And what if you didn't lay hands on that person and they recovered? Do you still believe that if you laid hands on them, that God would want to demonstrate his power through you? Are you more familiar with your inadequacies than God's fullness? I say that because I am. I mean, we're talking about being familiar with information. Most of us are familiar with information about God, and we don't have encounter, yada, intimate knowledge about who God is. David, when he ran to Goliath, he had full confidence in who God was for him. He couldn't even wear Saul's armor, and the language in there is because it was not tested and proven. Not because it was just too big. It was because he had not tested it and he had not proven, meaning he did not know God in it. It was somebody else's tested, proven armor. You cannot wear someone else's armor to a fight. So God is inviting us into this place where he becomes the fullness, the I am. And it's okay that we are lacking because that's the beauty of the partnership. When God chose to bring humanity into the picture in his image, he knew what he was getting before he created it. He knew you before the foundations of the world. He knew who you would be, and he knows how to partner with you, and he knows how to accomplish his mission through you on the earth. Will you trust him? That's what we're being invited into.
All right. Our time's just about up, so I just want to end here. Normally, we go through a story about Lazarus, and it's a beautiful thing, but what... I sounded like President Trump there for a second. It's a beautiful thing. Sorry. I just distracted myself. That wasn't good. There's something about disappointment that lingers kind of in the background of our lives and how we operate. And it may not necessarily be in the forefront. So for some, maybe, yeah. But we, like I said earlier, we go through these experiences in our lives, and sometimes they're hurtful experiences. And unless they're dealt with, there's this lingering disappointment and this lingering doubt that may follow us down the road, that gets us to hesitate, that gets us to believe we're not hearing, that gets us to believe that God doesn't love us or care about us. What I want to end here with today is I believe the Lord wants to come to each person in this room and give us an upgrade of hope. He wants to rekindle those dreams that you let go because of disappointment. There's a story of a scientist who was working on lab rats. And he put these rats in water in a container where they couldn't stop swimming. They just swam. There was nowhere to grab a hold of. And they swam and they swam and they swam. It sounds a little like a weird experiment, but he wanted to see how long they would last. It was actually an experiment on hope, which is interesting. And he did his calculations on the average rat after swimming and around the container, not finding anything to grab a hold of. After 15 minutes of doing that, they would give up. They would drown. Actually, I think he actually saved them right before they died. For some of them. The ones he actually grabbed before they died, he took them out, set them on ground where they could just rest for a second. He would then put them back into the water. And then they would begin swimming again, trying to find something. And this is a demonstration of the power of hope. Now, mind you, before those rats were grabbed out of the water, they took 15 minutes, and they're like, that's it. There's no hope. There's nowhere to grab a hold of. I give up. This is hard to believe, but the ones he put back into the water, do you know how long they lasted? 40 hours. It went from 15 minutes to 40 hours. That tells you what the power there is in hope. So some of us in this room today need an experience with the Almighty God coming and filling you with his hope, filling you with his life, filling you with his peace, saying, I have you, I see you, I believe in you. We all need that in our lives. And if we are deficient of that and we don't experience that, we will give up. So can we all stand together? And I don't honestly, you know, we've all gone through stuff, so we all need this, to be perfectly honest with you. So I want us all to get in a position right now of placing our hands out and just get ready to receive what the Lord wants to release into your heart. Say this with me. God, you are good. You see me. You love me. You believe in me. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we cut off every lie of the enemy in this room that has spoken into purpose, that has spoken into destiny, that has caused people to believe that they are worthless, they are insignificant, and they're going to fail, and they're going to just crash and burn. We break off now in the name of Jesus every lie. We silence it now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to do your work. Come and fill us with a fresh infusion of your hope, of your peace, of your love, and your joy. Just receive it right now, all around the room. Holy Spirit's working. He's coming. He's speaking into your heart. He's rekindling those dreams. He's giving you hope for the future. He's giving you hope for your families. He's giving you hope for your finances. He's giving you hope for your work. And he's giving you hope for your region, for this city. We receive it now. Just begin to say, I receive it. Receive it. For Jesus.
I just want you to start speaking in your spiritual language if you have it. Keep your hands out. Just start to engage with the Holy Spirit. When we speak in our spiritual language, what's happening is we're stirring up the gift of faith to receive all that he has for us. We're stirring it up. If you don't have a spiritual language, ask the Lord to fill you now. And if you are not experienced, I want you to just say the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to have your will, to have your way. Come on, church, press in. This isn't a passive time. We're pressing in to receive what the Lord has. I believe that right now the Lord is releasing a supernatural increase in fire. Holy Spirit, fire. It's starting over here. I release the fire of the Lord, 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 the fire of the Lord. This house is moving into a season of carrying the fire of the Lord like never before. The zeal of the Lord, shukata, the fire of the Lord. Come on, press in. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. When we become passive, that is when the enemy takes us out. Don't stop. There's been this house. God said, I would build this house. He said, I established this house. I established the walls. I established the foundations. I set it in motion. I set my spirit upon it. This house is a house built by the Lord God Almighty. He says to you today, I have poured out my spirit upon you. Would you not step up into it? Would you not receive the fullness, the portion that I have for you? This house is a house that has been sent to a city to reignite the fire of God like never before, the love of God like never before. This is a house that is supposed to carry the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord. I release to you right now an upgrade, an upgrade, an upgrade in the fire, an upgrade in the zeal, an upgrade in the passion, an upgrade in the heart of David, an upgrade in a worshiping heart, a worshiping church, a church that carries the sound of the glory fire of the Lord. I saw a vision of this house when we were praying yesterday, and I saw mothers and fathers with sons and daughters on their shoulders, and this house is coming into a season of fruitfulness. The Lord is declaring over you a season of fruitfulness. The promises that were made, God says, am I not the Lord? Will I not do what I have said I will do? See me do it. See it begin now. See it spring forth now. See this new era coming into fruitfulness for this house. The Lord is declaring to you this morning, He is causing an increase. See, this is an Amos season, an Amos 11 season, where one thing will happen on the heels of another. You will begin to increase like a woman pregnant, but you will begin to reap a harvest as the plower is overtaken by the harvesters. There's a birthing happening. The Lord gave me Psalm 29. It says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. It says, the voice of the Lord strips the forest bare and reveals. It reveals the things that have been hidden. And the Lord causes the deers to calf, meaning He causes birthing in the midst of His power being demonstrated. And this is a season for this house to give birth, to reproduce sons and daughters, sons that give birth to sons, sons, mothers that give birth to daughters, a reproductive system that is continually into multiplication. And it will be those that step in and make themselves available for the Spirit to have His will and have His way, because their answer is, be it unto me according to your word. So I just declared over this house a season of fire, a season of reproduction, a season of birthing, a season of multiplication, and promise fulfilled in Jesus' name.